Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. I'm actually revisiting this. We were there some time back. It hadn't been long. But again, just to go along with the message today and what I feel like the Lord would have us to do, I want to go back to the passage of Scripture, a different message, but the same text. And I pray today, if you have your Bibles, you'll open them and follow along. I believe, as many people often say, we need a manual to know what to do in our church. And friend, I submit to you, we have a manual, and it's called the Word of God. And I think in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, we find that literally he gives the pattern for what a church needs to be. And I tell you, I've been thinking, I've been bothered, I've been praying, I've been, you know, I started to use the word worried, but that's a sin, so I don't want you to think I've sinned, but I probably have. But I've fretted a little bit about this pandemic and what we've gone through. We've seen our church go from what I feel like, and I still feel like is vibrant. I still feel like God's blessing and God's working. And I tell you, my heart's been blessed this morning by the singing. My heart's been blessed by those of you that are here. But I often wonder, and I told somebody the other day, I don't know, our church one day may accomplish and go for great and mighty things that are far better than what we've ever had. And that's what I'm trusting God for. But irregardless of whether that happens or not, things will probably never be the same. And I think about many people that perhaps have gone that maybe will never come back. I think about maybe people that were coming in the fellowship that we had and what God was doing. But we understand in the early church, the Bible said it was the Lord who added to the church. And I believe today we have to be faithful in doing what we need to do and being faithful to Him. And then this week, we had an election here in the United States. And what we found out is that we've got a United States that is very much divided, very much divided in their thinking. And irregardless of where you fall, the truth of it is, we kind of let it bother us. Some man told me the other day, said my wife called me the other day, she was crying and saying, what are we going to do? Well, I hope this morning I can tell you what you need to do, and I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. I'll be honest with you, I'm not worried so much about what took place as much as I am the fact that I know God is in control of everything. And friend, today if God's in control, we have to put our faith and trust in God that He knows what He's doing, and He does know what He's doing. Now, there are some things that we can control. And I believe anything we can control, we ought to control the best of our ability. We must do is pray and understand that praying, we must work and evangelize and see God begin to work in our lives and through our lives that we might see the blessings of God fall upon us. We can control the atmosphere and the temperature of the church, right? We've got thermostats. We can do that. In fact, that's an upstep from years ago when the churches didn't have air conditioning. We can control what we preach and what we believe. I'm glad today I have freedom to believe what I want to believe and preach what I want to preach. We can control our involvement in the church, how much we get involved, whether we're excited about serving God and being faithful to God or whether we're not. We can control the outreach of our church. And literally, I've been racking my brain, and I submit to you, I hope you will, I'm looking for ways to minister in a day when it seems ministering has come to a halt because of the pandemic. I believe today we still need to be reaching people with the gospel to the best of our ability. We can control what is more important to the life of the church. But what we can't control is things outside that rim. And friend, as long as we're controlling what we can control and doing what we ought to be doing, then I promise you God is going to be doing what He needs to be doing and what He will be doing, and He's going to meet our every need. As we seek to look into the Word of the Lord today to find instruction and direction, as I saw a thing the other day in talking about the election, it says, now where do we go from here? And I thought about it, I said, man, that's a good statement for the church. Where do we go from here? Well, we keep marching on and being faithful in doing what God would have us to do. If you have your Bibles, let me just begin by reading verse 42 through 47. And the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them all men, every man that had a need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their bread with singleness, gladness, and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Before I pray, could I remind you that when the early church started, it was started in the midst of turmoil. It was started in the midst of persecution. It was started in a midst of trials. And friend, I do not believe, have ever in America seen the kind of trials the early church experienced. However, the things that we encounter along the way, we must understand that God will work and see us through it if we trust Him. Our Father, Lord, we thank You today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to be here. And Lord, I thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, as I heard a fellow say this morning again, Lord, we know that You're on the throne. We know that You're in control of all things. And I pray today that You might guide and direct and give us wisdom. Lord, I pray today that You would help us to see Your work accomplished for Your honor and glory. And Father, we'll thank You now for what You do and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. It doesn't take long to find out what kind of church a church is by what it values the most. What is the value of what you're doing? The value is seen in the things that we do or basically don't do. I read an article the other day, and it never ceases to amaze me, but there's a church out in Ashland, Oregon. It's called the Church of the Holy Light of the Queen. And they went to federal court and asked for a ruling that would allow them to import a halogenic tea that they could use in regular services. They said the only way that they could see Jesus like they needed to was to drink this tea. And, you know, we laugh about it. We say, man, that's crazy. Well, the court met in their favor and agreed that it was okay for them to have it for the reason. Can I submit to you today, the reason is not drinking tea. And I don't believe God intended for us to have some, halogenic tea or whatever it is to make us hallucinate. What we need today is the Word of God. And we need today to understand what God has for us. And by the way, we need to understand that Christians make up the church, and they made up the first church in Acts chapter number 2. The Bible gives us a snapshot in verse number 42 of what the church is. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Now, right there is an outline for a message if you want it. We'll go a little further than that this morning. But literally what we see is the recipe for what a church values is what it does. And today we do live in a society when many churches have gotten away from the truth of the Word of God and the things of God. And we've come much more than just a social gathering for people to get together and enjoy the fellowship one with another. I believe we ought to fellowship. But could I tell you, for a Christian, fellowship is fellowshipping around the things of God that God has given to us. We must give attention, first of all, to the Word of God. We must prioritize our faith. And that's where I'm at. And I know they haven't fit back there. I noticed the values we must prioritize. Let me get that first to you this morning. Number one, notice the values we must prioritize. Look at verse. We see, first of all, that we must give attention to the Word of God. Men may fail, preachers may fail, but God will never fail. I saw this week a another preacher, and I don't want to get off on that today, but of a very large church, was asked to step down by his congregation because of some immoral issues. But friend, what we need to do is continue steadfastly in not our doctrine, but in the apostles' doctrine, which is the doctrine of the Word of God. We live in a day when most people are saying doctrine really don't matter. Friend, I'm telling you what, doctrine matters like it's never mattered before. It means to give constant attention to something, to steadfastly continue. The early church was giving constant attention to the Word of God. And friend, that's what we need to do. You know what the best thing to do right now? And I'm serious, and I'm not trying to be facetious about it, and I know people want to stay up to date and everything, but I tell you, the best thing to do, and I turned off my news. I know it's important. We need to try to get news, but I tell you, it'll get things going with you, and it'll make you not be where you need to be as far as your relationship with the Lord. And I've often said, if we could spend as much time in the Word of God as we do watching the news or reading magazines or whatever it is we do, just think where we would be with our relationship with God. Today, the teaching is so important. We must value this Bible. I'll tell you, this book, the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but he said, my word shall never pass away. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of my God shall stand forever. And I tell you, when everything else falters and fails, God's word will continue to stand out throughout all the ages. I heard of a preacher that told this story, and I can believe it. It was an evangelist in another country. He was preaching a meeting, and he was preaching on the home and intimacy in the home. And so as he started to preach, the preacher said he noticed that he had a bed on the platform. And that bed was made up with the pillow shams and everything. It was had it fixed up nice. And he said, I just assumed, and rightfully so, I assumed that he was just using that for a prop to go along with what he was saying. And by the way, the Bible does have things to say about the home and intimacy and whatever, but here he had the bed. But the preacher said, it struck me after about 10 minutes, he had a bed on the platform, but he didn't have a Bible. And he said every now and then he'd mention something about the Bible, but he wasn't preaching the Bible. And friend, I submit to you today, the fact is we need to preach the Bible, and it's not about what we see, it's about what we hear. And it's about the Word of God. We must assemble for the worship of God. We've got a generation of people today that don't think it's important. And again, I have to preface this because inevitably people will say it, but I think I'm good today. The internet's not working, so we won't be getting any feedback there. And people sometimes take offense. But it's so easy that we get to the point that we feel like we don't need to assemble together. That's one of the main things. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship. How do you fellowship if you don't get together? How do you fellowship if you don't come together and worship the Lord and fellowship? You know what fellowship is? It's sharing things in common. What do we have in common? The blood of Jesus Christ, our Father, which is in heaven. We have heaven, our home. We're going to all live there one day, those of us who are saved. Then they had the breaking of bread. That can refer to eating a meal, but in this case, it refers to the Lord's Supper, remembering what Christ has done. And the words prayers has a definite glottal article that literally means the prayers. What do we have in common? We have in common all the things that I've mentioned here in this passage of Scripture, fellowship and breaking in breads. But we need to understand that we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Friend, I'm telling you today, I'm grateful for the privilege. I look forward to coming to the house of God. I saw Miss Joanne yesterday, and of course, she's having some physical problems, but because of the COVID thing, she's staying home. But she said to me, I miss the fellowship. And I tell you today, we do miss the fellowship when we're not there. And as a New Testament church, we ought to prize, we ought to value, we ought to prioritize. And by the way, I've said it often, you can do what you want to do. And if you do what you want to do, you ought to want to do what God would have us to do. And we need to be faithful to God in every area of our life. And we need to give attendance to the Word of God. And literally this morning, I hope that you would come to grips with the fact that perhaps, I'm not judging, but perhaps you've not spent as much time in this book as you ought to. And yet, our values are not what they need to be. Second of all, notice the virtues we must practice. We find in verses 44 through 46, sometimes rightly and sometimes wrongly, the church tends to get labeled by a particular characteristic. That's a friendly church. That's a formal church. That's an emotional church. Or that's a wealthy church. We could be identified as any of those things. I would think that our church would be the friendly church. I would hope that our church would be the friendly church. But as we read in Acts chapter 2, you get a pretty good picture of the life of the early church. There was a number of practices and virtues which marked the first church, as well as the descendants and the people that attended there. First of all, we find in verse number 44 that there was a singleness of mind. And all that believed were together and had all things common. All that believed together literally means in one place, at one time, for one purpose, and that was to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. The early church was a unified church. I think of a lady that was in the nursing home years ago when I first started pastoring down in Monticello. I remember a verse she taught me. It's not that I had not heard it in Bible school, and it's not that I hadn't heard it somewhere along the line, but every time I seen her, here's what she said: how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. As hard as it is to imagine, the first assembly was a church where all the people were in agreement and of same mind. Can you imagine that? I can't hardly imagine that. I'll tell you, they were in one agreement. They had a singleness of mindset. They had a singleness of direction. They were in agreement. They got along. They worshiped God in the same spirit. I think today somebody said years ago that research proved that failures in major corporations, that 95% of the failures in companies are due to internal problems. And can I submit to you today, unfortunately, 95% of the churches that fail because of internal problems and people pulling against each other or fighting against one another. Friend, I'm telling you today, God saved us all by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all going to heaven, and we're going to spend eternity there together. And I tell you what, if we can't get along down here, I don't know how in the world we're going to get along up there, but I can tell you this, the early church had it down, and they knew exactly what they needed to do. Many churches are struggling and failing because there's too much conflict and not enough cooperation. I can say today, I'm thankful for our church, and I believe our church, it follows suit of being a church that has singleness of heart. And honestly, the reason I believe we've had any success at all is because our people have been so unified and of one mind. I can't think of a time literally in years that we've had any kind of struggle or any kind of rebellion or anybody pulling against doing what we knew God wanted us to do. And I'm grateful for that. But there must be a sense of selflessness. Look back. The Bible said, in verse 44, all that believed were together and had all things common. But notice what else. Verse 45 said, they sold their possessions and goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had the need. Imagine that. They didn't go to church to get. They went to church to give. And I tell you, they were not just consumers, they were contributors. The church was a body in which they could give what they had to offer, and they could receive what was needed as well, meeting the needs. I found a long time ago that I believe God blesses a church. I believe God blesses an individual that gives. And I believe God blesses a church that gives. And that's why I believe as we seek to try to help people, I believe we've seen God bless our church. Because today, what God gives to us, we can use that to help others along the way. But unfortunately, many churches have members who only want to watch and not work, sit and not serve, listen and not labor, take but not tithe, show up but not stand up. Such was not the case of the first church. This church was made up of Christians who understood the important truth of the Word of God, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers, coming together in one mind, in one spirit. Look at verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I just kind of label that a sense of sweetness. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The word gladness there means exuberant joy. The word singleness is a word which means without rocks. It describes something smooth and pleasant. While many churches are about as, I guess, as joyful as maybe a funeral home or as pleasant as a root canal, the fact is today, God ought to have us rejoicing about being in the house of God. And listen, I feel guilty sometimes preaching because I honestly believe that we've got a great church. And I believe that I believe that many times I'm preaching to the choir, but I believe we all need to be reminded from time to time what God has for us and what He wants us to see. But I'm telling you, there ought to be excitement about coming to the house of God. When we come in, we ought to be thinking about what's going to happen at the invitation, not what we're having for dinner. We need to be thinking about what God's going to do in this service today and how He's going to reach out to those around about us. The assembly of God's people ought to be marked by smiles, laughter, joy, excitement, a sweet spirit of love, of friendship and community, because that's exactly what you see. And the early church had some values, the Word of God and fellowship, but they had some virtues that they put into practice. In fact, we find here in the Bible, literally, I don't know that we find anywhere in the Bible that commands us any certain time to have services, except on Sunday. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we preached on that, and I believe we ought to meet together on Sunday. But Sunday night and Wednesday night, we come together because we want to meet together. But isn't it interesting? Go back in our text, and let me find it there. And verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They went to church every day. Somebody said, man, boy, it's hard to get here on Sunday night. It's hard to get here on Wednesday night. It's just hard to go so much. Well, how about if we just go every day? The Bible said, and daily in the temple, that they worshiped God and they came together. The virtues they lived out in their life, they didn't have no programs. They just had practice of Christ-like character and doing what Christ would have them to do. We see the values they prioritized and the virtues that we must practice. But notice the vitality which was present. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Vance Hadver was a great preacher. He had a lot of good quotes, but this was one of them. He said, it's about time we quit playing church in these services that start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. And I tell you today, that pretty much exemplifies many churches today. The early church It was not a perfect church. I'm sure no one could ever accuse it of being a dead church. But in our text throughout the book, we see they had vision, they had victory, they had vigor, and they had vitality. What this church may have lacked in organization and money and in programs and facilities, it had made up for with life and power. And sometimes we seem to have those things. We have many times the organization, we have the money, we have the programs, and truly we have the facilities. But friend, you can have all that, but without the life and the power of God upon our lives, we will not see God work in our life the way that He needs to. Consider the activity of the church. The Bible said in verse 43, and here was the key. And what? And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Fear, what does that mean? I believe it means awe and reverence of God. As God worked through the apostles to perform miracles and to give signs of confirmations of the message of the gospel that He was working in and through their lives, while signs and wonders may change, the church should still be a place which God is working. Lives ought to be changed, and people ought to be touched, and the ministry of the church should go forward. We gather for worship. We should gather with expectation of seeing God in the midst. Well, wanting to see God doing something powerful. If we look at the first two words there in verse 47, what was happening? They were praising God. When you got the power of God, you'll have the praise of God. When you begin to see God working in mighty ways, and sometimes people say, well, you know, God don't work like He used to. It's not His fault. God still works. He's able to work, and He will work if we'll submit and surrender our lives to Him, to be faithful to Him in all that we do. The church of flame, the true spiritual fire, is attractive as a magnetic thing. It was John Wesley, the founder of Methodists. He once said, catch on fire with enthusiasm, and people will come for miles to watch you burn. And literally, I believe, and I've seen it, You let a church start having revival. You let people start getting saved. I have to say, I've seen some of that even in our generation. Not to the magnitude of what the early church was, but I've seen God get in meetings and people start getting saved. And when they do, people get excited. And when people get excited, the word starts spreading. Everybody around town begins talking about it. And before you know it, people's coming to see what's going on. I would hope that'd be that way with us. I had a fellow the day, I saw him at the football game. This was several weeks ago. And he said, man, I've heard some good things about your church. He said, I'm coming to hear you preach one Sunday night. And I said, come on, I'd love to have you. But the truth of it is, it's not about me. It's about the work that God's doing through His people here at Victory Baptist Church. But the key is, consider the addition. Sometimes we wonder, why aren't people getting saved? We don't see people getting saved like we used to. And I agree, we don't. But remember one thing. It's the Lord who asks. But it's us who have to be obedient. It's us who has to walk in the Spirit. It's us that has to witness. It's us that has to do what Christ would have us to do. But on a daily basis, these men and women were being converted to Jesus Christ, being added to the church. While not every church may be a large church, we ought to be a growing church. And even at a growing church, we've got some coming in the front door, some going out the back door, and we just have to do what we can to maintain and hold what we got. But we need to keep reaching and winning others, or eventually everybody's going to be gone. There's going to be nobody to carry on the work that we'll do. Adrian Rogers, another great preacher, he said the church will either evangelize or fossilize. And I think how true it must really be. We may never see people being saved on a daily basis. But if the day comes when we stop seeing folks getting saved at all, it's the day that you can hang Well, what was the sign, Ichabod, over the door? And understand, the church has died. We failed to do what Christ would have us to do. Years ago, right the onset of World War II, the Sudan Interior Mission, they were forced to leave Ethiopia because Mussolini was going into Ethiopia. And so the missionaries they had to leave. They had to get out. They were grieved. And by the way, any missionary that God has called to a particular field, that's the burden. That's his heart. That's his desire. In fact, most missionaries you find that serve for 30 and 40, 50 years on the mission field, that's where they want to be buried, with their people, right? And so these missionaries were very sad and disappointed that they were having to leave. But during the time that they had been there, I believe over a period, it said, of 9 years of service, those missionaries had labored faithfully on a regular basis. And when they left there, they had 48 converts in 9 years that had been saved by the grace of God. And they were saddened to have to leave them there. But you know what? The missionaries grieved and they left. And they didn't know anything else till July the 4th of 1943, when the missionaries were able to return. When they returned, you know what? They were amazed to see that the small group of 48 believers had grown to over 18,000 believers, because those 48 carried the gospel, witnessed, and won people to Jesus Christ. People sometimes say, why do we send money to missionaries? Friend, I tell you, sometimes the missionaries are seeing way more saved than we are. But thank God, it's our opportunity to invest in the lives of souls and to help them get the job done. You see, the vitality of a church is evidenced in its addition. The most current statistics on churches in America indicate that 70 or 80% of churches in our country have either stopped growing or they've started declining. 3,500 to 4,000 churches will close their doors this year. Instead of trying new things, perhaps what churches need to do is just go back to the old thing. Just get back to continually being steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking the bread. And the Bible said, and the Lord added to the church. What must we do to pray for the Lord to add to our church? Beyond praying, we must work. We must evangelize. We must tell the world about Jesus. We must understand our duty to be faithful, to call on our lives and leave the church in God's hands. Our duty is to carry the gospel everywhere we go and wait for Him to save the lost for His glory. These are the fundamental facts of the church. Friend, I'm telling you, if our church is going to ever get back to where it was or surpass where we were, which I desire, we're going to have to get back to the basics of what God has told us to do and understand today it's not a new gospel. It's not a new Bible. It's just the old-fashioned Word of God that we need to continue to be faithful in serving God and standing for Him. As we go forward, we need a model church. We don't need a new model church. We just need the model church we have. And I believe today with all my heart, I'm grateful today for the original model that God gave us in His Word to be faithful. I hope you'll pray with me that God will give us desire to have the values, the virtues, and the vitality that God wants us to have as we serve Him and are faithful to Him in these days. Our Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You for the privilege and opportunity we had to come together this morning. Father, I pray that Your will be done. We ask that You would guide and direct us. And Lord, I thank You for our church. I thank You for the people of our church. And Lord, I believe our church is extraordinary. Lord, I believe our church is a church that's pleasing to You. But Father, today I pray that Your name would continue to be exalted, that we continue to lift our voices to heaven. Father, we continue to love You and to serve You and to be faithful to You. Father, we ask now Your will be done. I pray that you'd guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen.